are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody, to another show, Those Casual Reds.
Yeah.
Got some technical difficulty on the mics right there. Just to start it off, let's get the sponsors out the way. So let's thank everyone for the sponsors for this show today. Belorian and Manukian LLP for your personal injury litigation firm. They got over a decade of experience with real results. Maximize your compensation with us. You already know the number. Call us at 747-444-4444. All right, Sam, let's bring all the guys back in now.
Bring in the lads.
Hey, there they are, those casual reds right there. What's up, everybody?
Welcome. Let's bring in the foreigners first. Sean, welcome.
Welcome. Hopefully my mic is working bad now. So
it's working. You sound good.
There we go. I had to go into OBS and swap some stuff out. But yeah, it's working now. What a weekend, boys. What a weekend. At the death with a win, but you know, I'll take it.
Win is a win.
First game of the season, so I wasn't expecting too much. So
perfect. Next foreigner, Mr. Mikey Douglas. How you feeling?
What makes me? Oh, because I'm not from LA.
Precisely. You outside of LA. You foreign. LA,
yeah. Oh, I caught on. Okay, that's fine. Ari Still, what's going on, man? How's everybody doing? Shout out to Casey, man.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Soon deal with him. Bandido, over to the local boys. Bandido, tell us how you're feeling.
Feeling good. Proper football is back. And stress and all the heartache and all that stuff is back with it.
Welcome back. Double trouble in the studio today. Jeremy, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. What difference makes having a win, right? Feeling good?
To start with a win, too.
Out on Cali, sunshine, can't complain, right?
Facts.
How you doing, though, Cheese?
Yo, I'm good. The good feeling continues, right? I was all happy last week before the season started. We got 3 points. Ten Hag did his thing. The boys did their thing. So the good feelings roll on. I'm feeling good. Let's go, fellas. Mikey, you wanna lead off? What you got? Let's just talk Fulham game right now.
Yeah, let's talk the weekend game.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's cool. So let's just call a spade. That wasn't the best performance you've ever seen in your life. You said it last night. It was a decent game with a decent goal. I feel like we did pretty good. The pressing was decent. It was better than what we've seen. Okay, still have gaps in the midfield to deal with, but we also have a lot of guys that haven't played for this club that played. We have a lot of guys that haven't played together. Okay, and Ten Hag said it himself that we weren't 100% fit for this match. We weren't all the way ready. Okay, man, them got ear infection, throat ache, all kinds of garbage going on to blood clot. So we here. Just figuring it out. But I'm not mad. You know what? I didn't see a team this weekend besides who beat Everton 3-0.
Brighton, who we play next.
Ooh. I didn't see a team just run away with it this season besides Brighton. Because even the City-Chelsea match, there was some times where Chelsea just didn't get on the end of the ball and finish it, right? Because they have Nico Jackson, and that guy has two left feet.
And can't stay onside.
And he lives offside, bro. Oof. So I didn't see anybody run away with it. So our game was just as apropos. It was just like everybody else's that weekend, right? Figuring it out. And, yeah, nobody can complain about that game. If you're complaining about that game, something's wrong with you.
That's a you problem. Yeah.
It's a you issue, not a 10 hog issue.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Sean? What?
Yeah, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't expecting too much. First game of the season, Mikey said it. We knew that they weren't fit. Half of our new starters are not fit. Mazari did an excellent job on the right back. And he looked different to what Wan-Bissaka can offer. You know, he got back with that, you know, important block. But, you know, he also progressed the ball forward very well.
Yes.
It was nice to see Zerski come on and get that poacher's goal. We said it last night. You know, I feel like he met that goal. He could see that he kind of clipped it with the outside of his boot. I thought it was came off his studs at first, but after looking at it again, it didn't. But yeah, the pressing was fire. It was completely different than what we've seen before. Said it last night. I feel like the midfield is lacking. You know, I'm seeing Casemiro and Mainoo go forward at the same time, leaving us exposed, which we saw twice. Once with a lucky foot from Harry Maguire, and the other one was a bad pass. But if those, you know, better team, you know, we're 2-0 down there.
Yeah.
So I feel like one of those needs to start staying back. But other than that, I think, you know, United dominated other than the first 20 minutes. I thought, you know, obviously it's a back and forth game. I thought Fulham came in through it for a little bit. But overall, it was positive signs for Manchester United. And I'm really looking forward to when Dalit's fit. You know, obviously, when we get this Ugarte deal finally over the line. And then Zerski and Rasmus are back. So, you know, I'm looking forward to all of this.
Well said. Bandido, your thoughts, Fulham game.
To add to that, we saw shape and patterns of play. It was disjointed at times, but it looked, you know, it wasn't Casemiro having to cover 30 yards in all directions. We saw coordinated pressing. So I'm wondering why like Mason Mount is getting in the side, and I think that's the answer. I think he's just really good at pressing his cover shadow. He gets it. He just has to maybe improve a little more in the box with the ball. But yeah, you remember last time Fulham came to town, they ran away.
Yep.
Ran away with the game. And like I said, our shape was better. Our coordination was better. Taking care of the ball a little better. You know, no one's firing on all you know, 8 cylinders right now. Just, you know, getting ready. The new boys.
Yeah, talk. That was the next segue.
Impact. Mazraoui, fantastic. I mean, he was blowing at the end, but, you know, it's fantastic. The composure, supporting his attacking winger. And, you know, just a calmness on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Love his composure. Yeah.
You know, even a little cameo, Dalit coming in. Yeah, and then, of course, Xerxes getting involved in the build-up, dropping back, and then crashing the box.
Stealing McTominay's timing, right? Glory.
Crashing the box. So, and I thought it was McTominay. They were kind of like in the same space. And
he
stole it.
He nipped it from
out of the way.
it was a sign of, hey, Scotty, your services are no longer needed here. Literally. It was very telling of that.
You're playing in man's space.
Right? Yeah.
Like we would say against Hoyland, he's playing in Hoyland's space. But, yeah, it's 3 points at the end, and we move on from there.
Yep. Dirty Sanchez, how you feel about the new boys? Oh, he's reading comments.
My bad. I'm just looking at the comments here real quick. All I want to say is we're looking good. What a difference it makes now, right? A year from now, the Wolves game last year to this year. It's just much more positive, right? We can see from this team. I see them like a little bit much more fitter, right? Although they're not a little sharper, yeah. Right? They're pressing. Their passing in the beginning was a little sloppy, mainly by Casemiro. But as the game went on, it seemed like the game came more to him. You can see some of those crisp passes. He's looking leaner, looking better, looking fitter. All I got to say is weight room, right? another thing, and another thing too, Joshua Zirkzee, right? Boy is big and thick.
My God.
That guy, man, I know, right?
I thought we'd be good today.
Yeah, my,
but
my,
that guy,
my
man,
buddy was sitting.
Oh, I just want to say, hey, my, that guy looks, he looks like a proper forward, right? Like his build, just that alone, right? And just to just comment about that McTominay thing, and yeah, we need him because he crashes the box. We can utilize him. Once you saw that Joshua Zirkzee goal, no, you don't. That's the space that Joshua Zirkzee can operate in. So that's all proper I got to say striker, about some of those guys.
Bandido, you're saying?
A friend of mine was sitting row three in the Stretford end, and you know, right where they warm up right there. And he said, you know, he's giving Zlatan vibes. You know, he's an absolute unit.
Nice. A young Zlatan. I'm all for it.
I'm not going to comment on the, you know, the old McTominay crab crashing the box. We did that last night. I'm done with McTominay. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, we're either going to lose him for free or we're now going to have to sign him to a new contract, which is a lose-lose either way. So
he should go to Fulham.
He's not going to Fulham. Unfortunately, we're not going to give him a new contract.
He's not going
Fulham is no longer interested. They're moving on to a guy we were looking at, which is Sander Berg.
Okay.
Yeah, they've actually, he's there today having his medical.
Okay. So no McTominay to Fulham.
Napoli, it may be Napoli for. They're gonna give him Diego Maradona's shirt, you know, the number 10.
Oh wow, is Conte down with this at Napoli?
I mean, he saw him.
Apparently so.
Didn't he see him a few years ago at the Premier League? Right.
Okay. Hey, all right. I know they lost their first game, their first Serie A game. Conte's apologizing to fans and everything.
You need someone to crash the box.
Yeah. See, service. That's where your services are needed, McTominay. My goodness. Any other transfer news? How confident are we about signing Ugarte?
I'll take that one, Rob. I think he's going to be done by the end of this week.
All right.
We've only got 10 days left.
Right.
So
fair.
We've got 10 days left to get deals done. I think if it doesn't get done by this week, it's going to go down to deadline day. And I feel like Paris Saint-Germain are on that brink right now where they're like, okay, from what I'm hearing, the loan is you take him on loan with the obligation to buy, but you pay for the 60 million next year, where Man United are like, no, we're not doing that. We'd rather get it as a full-time deal right now and pay less. And I think closer it gets to deadline day, I think Paris Saint-Germain are going to just do what Bayern did and just drop their price.
I hope so. I hope they play ball.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what are they thinking, right? He's not even on the rotation, and they still were asking, what, still 60 mil? Come on. But dude, they're not even going to utilize.
Trying to get that United tax.
Yeah, but not anymore. Yeah, with this brass now, they're not like the previous regime, right?
Tell me don't play that.
Exactly. So what do you guys think about the sign?
Your boy got a job recently. He found a job. He found a job over there in Italy, somewhere, I think it was in Fiorentina. For us a long time ago.
De Gea, you know? He's talking about De Gea. Oh. He's talking about De Gea.
What's the hate? Are you one of these guys, Elijah Michael,
talking
over,
about our
you know,
legendary goalkeeper?
Because that Schmeichel's a Judas, man. So I don't want to hear anything from Schmeichel. He's a Judas. He went to Man City. Don't do that. Judas. At least David De Gea went out of the Premier League. He had a good servant for Man United. He couldn't save a penalty for crap, but he was a great servant for Man United. I don't want to hear anything about Schmeichel.
Like, man, we know how you guys feel about him. I'm just pulling your leg. But that just transferred. It happened last week.
I was about to say, Mike, you still hurt because he missed that penalty? Come on. He's a goalkeeper.
No, I'm not.
I am. He's a goalkeeper. I'm still hurt.
Yeah.
But what you guys, I think you guys touched on it a little bit. What you guys think of the signings that came in to play? What you guys think of them?
So I think Moz did good. Mon did really good. To come out of the cold and be ready to play the way he was and play as long as he did.
Solid
excellent.
Game.
Giving De Ligt the sub, perfect timing. And yeah, Xerxes scoring the goal. He is a big, thick individual. I mean, bro, his legs are huge. I was looking at his calves. The calf muscle is a real indication of athleticism, okay? You look at a man's calf, you can see how athleticism. No, but he's a big dude. I think he's about 6'4". He got to be like 180 something.
It's crazy because it stands out when he's next to the other players, right? It's just like automatic. It's
and he's
like...
getting up the pitch, too. There was a little time where a ball was coming in from the right-hand side, and it was him and I think Bruno running after it. And it was going to curve into one of them, ended up going to the defender. And I'm like, yo, he's getting after it. To be that big and that physical, that's what we need. That's what we needed. I mean, Hoylum is that big, you know what I'm saying? But I think Xerxes might be a little differently as far as pace goes. So I'm happy, bro. This is the first time I'm actually really happy to see what's going on. And I'm not dizzy. This game, next game about against Brighton is going to be a good litmus test to see where we are. I think the Fulham game, first game of the season, everybody's a little, you know, razzle-dazzle coming from the United States and traveling and blah, blah, blah. All that setting in there. Cool. Good little place, this placeholder to see where everybody is. But this game against Brighton, is this at home or is it away?
Away, I believe. I think it's away.
Yeah, boy. Going out of Brighton. You know how we get the, you know how we act at the Amex. It ain't nice. So I really want to see what these guys can do. Matoma's not coming to mess around. He's gonna come straight at man. They have a good side. And I just feel like I just want to see what more of what we did in this game, but be colder with the chances. Yeah. Colder.
Yes.
Just cold. Mikey, cold with the chance.
Mikey, how would you rate this window so far, and then what do you expect in the next by the close?
7. It's a 7 window.
Nice.
Only because we've had such bad windows before, right? Like if I'm
it's a low bar.
yeah. Like the bar is on the ground. It's in hell. But if I'm City, bro, this is not a window at all, right? But we're Man United. We've struggled with signing one or two players at a time. We've wasted money on guys that haven't played. Or didn't, or came back to us and didn't play, or whatever the case may be. So I'll say 7. It's above average. It was a decent, and I think we either we get Ugarte, or we get the other dude, Richard. What's his name? The other guy, the other South American dude, the CDM. I'm with getting him too, or Ugarte. I haven't heard any news on the other kid in a while. I forget his name. I'll remember it in a minute. But we get the Ugarte deal done. When is the transfer window closed now?
End of the month, the 31st.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
A week on Friday.
We lock that up by this Friday or Saturday, I'll be happy. And then he can come in and play a Liverpool match. He'll have some time to train. And then we can get right into the Liverpool game, which I'm kind of like, I'm not looking past Brighton, but I'm not looking forward to playing Liverpool right now.
Yeah. And then, Sean, what... The second part of that, what would you prioritize to bring in another CDM and us? They're talking about maybe another striker. Laurie Whitwell came in the Athletic saying that Ineos are not trying to bring a left back. What are you expecting?
A CDM at the minimum. I don't see them bringing in a left back just because of how as Ari did at the weekend. I think that kind of took some pressure off. It'll give some time for Luke Shaw to come back. Hopefully he can come back, but I think that'll give some time for him to come back. But if we get an injury with Mazzari or somebody, you know, we're a little screwed. But CDM is a absolute must right now. You know, I did see them playing a 3-6-1 at the weekend. So I can see them, you know, having those back three and not dealing with a left back for now. But, you know, Ugarte is a must right now. I'm with Mikey. I'll give it 7. If we can get Ugarte, I'll give it an 8. 7.5, 8 out of 10 window.
Okay. Nice. And then outgoings, who do we realistically expect to be further outgoings?
Sancho, that's it right now. I can only see Sancho leaving right now. You know, obviously, you know, from what I'm hearing is Fulham put a bid in for 20 million plus 5 million add-ons for McTominay. I'm hearing that it didn't go through because McTominay didn't, because they want, they, it's going to have to be the right price and for McTominay to say, yes, I'll leave. I'm hearing that he didn't want to go to Fulham, which ended up, they ended up going getting Sanderberg. So I don't see McTominay leaving, but it's, you know, Sancho is the only one I can realistically see going, the first team player. I know Mendy or whatever his name is looking to leave, but we're not really going to get much for him. And then who's the right winger? The Uruguayan, Pelestri. I can see Pelestri leaving too.
Yeah, but he's off to Greece. They've got a Uruguayan manager. Yeah. And he's off to Greece. Another one, it's not a big player, but it's someone that, you know, I had kind of high hopes for, and that's Hannibal Mejbri.
Yeah.
He's looking to make a move.
That's a transfer request, right?
Yeah.
That's Casey's boy.
And then Max Oyedele, who I thought was maybe third on the pecking order behind, you know, some of the younger midfielders. He's a Salford lad, has dual citizenship with Poland, and I think he's going to make a move to Warsaw.
Okay. So, yeah, but with those three, we're not what we're realistically looking at, 18 million.
So you're saying we're looking at Casemiro staying, we're looking at Eriksen staying.
Eriksen, if he leaves, I think he's going to be on a free to Ajax. I think that's the only talk going on the internet right now, is him leaving to Ajax for free. But I don't foresee us getting pretty much any money for him, especially at his age right now. So unless Brentford come back in for him, because I know, you know, he played for Brentford and they really liked him. But again, it's only going to be about 5 million, if that. So the outgoings, yes, I can see, you know, quite a few, but just not kind of, you know, in the first team kind of setup that are going to be worth a lot of money to be able to bring in another player. What I'm hearing, real quick, what I heard is that United were expecting Casemiro and Eriksen to leave. And for those two to leave, they were going to bring back in Amrabat and bring in Ugarte. But obviously, those two are not leaving right now. So we're struggling to bring in, you know, the Ugarte deal and keep it under PSR.
Yeah, I was looking at the, you know, when you look at a window, you rate the incomings, but you, you got to kind of think about the outgoings as well. And it'll be 8 first team players. Now, obviously, some of those are on free, but you're getting them, you know, off your wage bill. So pretty good business on that side as well.
Yeah.
I think you guys said Jadon Sancho, but who's going to be in the running to buy this guy?
That's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. You know, he has an attitude problem. Clearly, you know, he did. Everyone says he did well at Dortmund last year. I don't think he did well at all at Dortmund last year. I think what did he get? 2 goals. He was non-existent in the Champions League final. And if he had done that good, then Dortmund would have won that. Would have come back in for him. You know, they had no problem putting their new number 10 up on Instagram and making fun of United at that particular point. So the problem with getting rid of him is, one, his wages, and two, who wants to sign this guy that is clearly having problems? I don't believe this whole, he had an ear infection this week. Really? He had an ear infection?
Hogwash.
And then, you know, two days later, he's back in training. You know, last time I had an ear infection, I wasn't back in training 2 days later. So I don't believe that that's the case. I think he was left out of the squad, but...
Well, in 1985, the medical advances to science at that time weren't as good as they are now.
How old do you think I am, Mikey? How old do you think I am?
Just walk it off.
No, I mean, I can believe that he probably had an ear infection. I think it's a weird excuse, but I've had an ear infection and it sucks for me. I don't know.
Is it like that Barcelona excuse about Ilkay Gundogan? He has a headache, so he couldn't play.
Yeah,
back to
City. Now he's going back to Man City.
Now he's going back to City.
Pep's already okay with bringing him back because, that's crazy. But I don't know who. I think the team that could sign him that has the space, and the need is PSG, and they don't want it. They don't want to do it. So I don't see anybody else that needs this guy on his wages, with his history right now. I don't see anybody taking a shot at those wages. If he comes down, people are okay with a headache if he comes down with paying him less, for sure.
Yeah.
But there's only about 7 or 8 teams that can afford. And he's not on monster wages as it is, but, you know, we're in this.
He's on close to 300,000 a week. I think he's on 200,000.
So can you see it as a loan?
There's 16 teams that can afford those kind of wages in the world, right? But with everything I just said, right, on top of that, who wants to put up with that, right? It's like those 16 teams aren't in, and we're one of them. So really 15.
We're hoping that this is a new era where the manager is not going to be pressured to play a player because of what his how many shirts he sells, what his transfer fee was. You know, that we have informed, fit for purpose players, and that if Sancho is not in the, you know, not in the plans for Ten Hag, then that's what it is.
We're just draining our money now.
Could you see it where he's going out on a loan and United has to pay most of the wages just to get him out of here? And
there's one team I can see signing Sancho right now. And there was reports of it the other day. I don't know how true it is, but we all know how messed up that club is. And I can see Chelsea coming in for a bit.
Wow. I saw that right now.
There was reports the other day of, you know, Man United officials sense that Chelsea will launch a late bid for Sancho. It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me if they came in for a bid for Sancho. The team is a mess. I don't know if anyone watched Chelsea the other day.
We love what's happening over there. City. We love what's happening over there. Keep it up. 8 goalkeepers.
One of the best things, I don't know if anyone's seen the memes yet, is that Cucurella song that he sang after winning the Euros and then got absolutely demolished by Haaland within 2 minutes of the game.
Why is he mentioning his name in that song?
Away with that song that quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then not only that, what's his name? Kovacic gets the ball, skips the pass in zone, buries one from 22 yards out. And it's
a great goal.
Passes that expensive midfield, right? Passes crazy. Through that expensive midfield, right, of Caicedo and Enzo.
Like a knife through butter. Right?
And that other meme of the owner right walking out.
Right through them, scores. They stand there looking around. It's like, guys, you let this happen. Let it happen. This is how you perform in your first week back with 40 players. Good for you.
P.S. Todd Bowley masterstroke is the USA national teams. Just in case you guys weren't keeping up. Emma Hayes.
Really?
I'm just saying, Emma Hayes, U.S. women's coach. Pochettino, U.S. men's coach. Todd Bowley, masterstroke. He don't give a fuck about Chelsea. I'm telling y'all.
No.
Keep it up, Todd.
No. What did you guys think of? I know it was only 10 minutes, but what do you think of Dalit's debut?
Solid. He didn't put a foot wrong. He looks commanding in that 10 minutes. Like he's ready to lead.
Yeah, he is a leader from what I'm hearing from, Bayern fans online is, the ability to come on and dictate that back line, basically being the vice captain. I could see him pointing and telling players where to be. And I know Martinez in his interview said that he's really excited to play next to Dalit. So I thought it was a good 10 minutes. Hopefully he starts this week and at least plays 60 minutes. So I don't see him playing the whole game, but I can see him starting and playing the first 60 minutes.
Are you starting him at center back? And who are you pairing him with?
Martinez.
Okay. So full bench for Maguire, despite his stellar performance.
Was it a stellar performance?
Did he play horrible?
We said that last night. He stuck a foot. There's no way he meant that block. it was just a horrible pass straight into his foot.
Yeah, but you got to be there.
It looked like he was just right in the right place at the right time.
As a defender, he jockeyed back. He did play his shadow. He's just a big old clumsy guy, but he got the size 14s in a way.
Yeah. Hey, no own.
I think the one thing that he did well is that block, towards the end of the game, where he managed to block off the defender and allow Onana to come out and collect the ball. I thought that was really well defended.
Yeah, right in front of the goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we can't allow him to make a mistake. That game, overall, that game is phenomenal for him, but we can't allow him to make a mistake. And it's in him to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Just like it is Onana's, and you know, we need to protect Onana as much as we can, because we can't let what happened last year happen. You know, he had the, he faced the most amount of shots and had the most amount of saves, best save percentage in the Premier League. We can't allow that to happen, and we need to get Dalot in as soon as possible, I believe, right, and work at that relationship with Martinez.
Fair. Group question. How, and it's a three-part question, I think. How concerned should we be about Marcus Rashford? Two-part question. And how long for him to go on, like find his form and go on a streak?
That's up to Marcus Rashford at this point, because we don't know. We don't know, like, what it's going to take for him. Now, did he play bad in this game? No. He didn't play bad. Once again, he didn't have a Rashford game. Fair. He had a game above that, a little bit above it. I'm not going to, you know, that pass to Garnacho was whatever. Garnacho should be burying that. Yeah. He should be burying his chances that he gets it, but I don't think he did chase a lot of lost causes. He showed a lot of energy. He looked pretty good, looked pretty decent, looked healthy. He didn't look like he was laboring at all.
Right.
And I can't be mad at him for this game. He wasn't anything special, nothing to write home about. But well, to the second question, I don't know, bro.
Yeah.
At any time Marcus Rashford could catch fire, and this kind of goes back to our last conversation with him and Mbappe. You need Rashford has to have a mentality, and the team has to be playing well, and all of this stuff has to go well for Rashford. We have to coddle this guy so much for him to have this many games for us before he can just perform in the team and make stuff happen just from him having two legs and having the God-given ability he is, because he's a good player. But so it's like, oh, he needs to score a goal to get his confidence up, and it's just like, he can't just get on the pitch and make stuff happen as he does, like a player is supposed to, right? So, I thought he didn't have a bad game.
Yeah, I thought the body language was good, better. He was staying connected to his defender. He was, you know, we're playing that 4-2-4 kind of, you know, it's like a hexagonal shape, and he was. You know, he was doing what he was supposed to do most of the time, you know, staying alert and staying connected. On the ball, he's a willing runner. Again, I thought he should have been selfish and just, you know, put his foot through the ball and went for goal. I thought he had the angle on that, but he chose to square it, and the goal didn't happen. But will he come good? That's the big question, yes. Right? So a lot of Marcus Rashford's games where, you know, seasons where he's had 30 goals, 20 plus goals, is he's had a in-form Luke Shaw. And he's the kind of player that needs that overlapping, that threat, mm-hmm. you know, around the end. So if we get in-form Luke Shaw or whoever's on that side to partner well, I think that's where we're more likely to see the best Marcus Rashford. We don't know if he's going to come good or not, but I think it improves his chances if we get that left back.
Yeah. I thought we saw glimpses of the old Rashford at the weekend. I'm not saying like, you know, that, but if you look at 2 years ago when he kind of got the 30 goals a season, it didn't really kick on until just before the World Cup. You know, he didn't start off and having a great season. I thought his attitude was better. You know, as Ben Dino said, I think he did most of his job correctly. And I believe he should have buried that. But we also know what would have happened if he had missed it and hadn't passed it to Garnacho. You know, the whole Man United fans would have started booing the shit out of him again and yelling things at him. But I thought we saw glimpses of him. But I think he played about as well as Mbappe this weekend.
Fair. Fair.
All right.
Mikey Clinic.
He already won a trophy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So did
that
we.
That was midweek. Snapdragon. He won that trophy in the
so
midweek.
So did we. Snapdragon. Oh, my God.
Snapdragon. We're the champions of Bangkok as well.
Yeah. You'll never sing that.
I mean, it comes a far way when we're having to say that a Marcus Rashford subpar, like average game is a positive, mm-hmm. right? It's
I mean, just compared to what we got last season.
Exactly. But from a guy that's supposed to be your poster boy, your talisman of the club here, we need
in his prime.
Exactly. In his prime, 26 years old, mm-hmm. right? In his prime. What is he offering, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we want him to do well, but just like Mikey attributed to, there's so many factors that kind of have to go right for Marcus Rashford for you to say he played a great game when it should be the other mm-hmm. way around. He should take the game right by the cliche by the horns, right, and make something of it.
Look at Bruno.
Exactly. Example, that's right? Exactly what I was going to say. Bruno.
Two different positions. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Two different positions. But two different work ethics, two different mentalities,
mm-hmm.
two different grifts. Like, they put Bruno could play badly. He's still putting a shift in. Yeah. We could be down 3-0. He's still going to run you down and clip you and argue with the ref. And scream and do all of that. Now, that's whatever, right? Some people don't like that. All of a sudden, people love Bruno now, all of a sudden. All of a sudden, we love Bruno. Okay, fine. But when that was annoying and he was a child and whatever, it was fine. But those things, for me, show passion in the game, right?
Yes.
This time, doesn't come back. He just.
And I'll go one further, Mikey. He'll hit 3-4 plunkers in a row, but he's still going to try. He's still going to try that right. fourth time, fifth time, sixth time to create, a dangerous play.
Yeah, it says a lot about him. He's older. He doesn't have those same physical like attributes, right, that Marcus Rashford mm-hmm. has, but he finds himself creating, being in spaces or in places where he can either create something or try to be on goal. So that says a lot about him. And I want to give a shout out to Casemiro just really quick. Because of him, we started because of that interception, that started off that goal that Xerxes had right off the bat, and not just that, him finding himself in the back at the right, and then being all the way up front to give one of the key passes for that goal. Shout out to him. I know we bash on him a lot, but shout out to him for that.
He looks sharp so far.
You bash him because we know what he's capable of, right? It's a guy coming from. He's a
five-time Champions League.
Come on now, like. We know what he's capable of. We know that he's older now. But what we got was a fat Casemiro last year that apologized for it. Like, it's not just me. I'm not trying to bash the guy's weight. I'd be the last person to do that. But, like, he apologized for it. He was like, I was a little sloppy last season. Like, I'm going to come into camp. I'm going to be in shape, and I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to be the destroyer that you know me to be. And he looked like he wanted to do it. Now, he wasn't great by no stretch, but, like, this is what I want to see. He knows Ugarte's coming. He's seeing his replacement. He's seeing that he's getting put out the pasture, that he's going back to the barnyard and the shotgun's getting loaded up. He's seeing it. So he's like, man, I gotta get this off as much as I can, because who knows how often I'm going to play. I think he's going to play a lot still because he's Casemiro. But, good for him. I'm glad he did well. I hope he does well next week, too. Or this week. Where do we play? Saturday.
4:30 a.m. Pacific.
I feel
Pacific
sorry
time,
for you LA boys this week. I feel sorry for you LA
bunch
boys.
Bunch of sober men at 4:30 just standing at the pub, right?
It's always sad.
So what do they
serve alcohol at that time?
No, they do not. Right? No, not to
Man, I'd be in bed. I'd watch the game later on replay.
That's a stupid rule. So basically, the sun has to be out for you to drink?
Yep, pretty much.
It's a 6 a.m. first call.
But do clubs not close at 3 o'clock?
2.
So 3 hours later, is it two and a half hours later, there's a difference? What's the difference between 2 and 4:30?
LA maths, Mikey. Don't question it.
LA mathematics.
LA mathematics. On Sunday, they like to play this, we don't serve alcohol on Sunday until noon here. We put the blinds down and we're drinking at 9 a.m.
It's got to be in your flat.
Damn, me and Mikey in South Carolina were up there till 4 a.m. in one at that bar.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that place is terrible.
It was horrible, but it's 4 a.m.
That just shows a dedication here to the fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being
Get out there. Crack a dawn.
So speaking of that, so what's it, what are you guys looking ahead? Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was going to say, what's the lineup? What do you guys think the lineup's going to be? Ooh. Kind of a question for each of you this week.
Ooh.
Do you see any changes?
Let's start with Bandido. I want to hear Bandido.
Yeah,
I think at the obviously Onana and Net, but I think the back four will stay. I think we're gonna go Mazraoui, Licha. Then I think we see De Ligt come in and start the game, at least get 60 minutes. You know, get a good proper run out, and then Delo. I think we do see Casemiro again, partner with Kobbie Mainoo. And what I want to see, I don't want to see the two false nines with Mount. I want to see Xerxes up top. I want to see Rashford, Bruno. And then I like Ahmad to start the game, and I like Garnacho to come on as a sub. I think he's just really good in that situation. So that would be my starting lineup.
Yeah, I'm going with the same. The only problem that I see with starting Garnacho as a sub, like if we continue down this route, is the kid isn't going to like being a sub. You know, we're gonna see a Ronaldo situation at some point if we keep using him as a sub. I think he's better off the right too. I think it's going to stay the same, but it's hard because I really saw Mount, the Chelsea Mount this week. I saw it and I've seen it in preseason, and it's going to be hard to leave him out of the team because, you know, there's no room for him if Szczesny goes up front, and it's going to be frustrating trying to get him in there, because trying to get him in form the way he is now, and then, you know, obviously leaving him on the bench and bringing him on is going to be an issue at some point. But I think he's going to go with a false nine. I don't think he thinks Szczesny's ready, so I think he's going to go with a false nine, unfortunately. I think Szczesny will come on again in the 60th minute, but I'm going to go with the same team as Bandino, other than the Szczesny.
I'm with Bandino now. I want to see our number nine, or one of our number nines be a number nine. I want to see what it looks like. I'm tired of the playing it safe thing. I want to come on. Let's see what you can do against this kind of side. Let's see what you can provide. And I'm with Ahmad starting, and I'm with. See, the thing is, I just take a little thing with what you said about Garnacho, because it's like, dude, this is Man United. You might have to start on the bench, brother. There's gonna be times where you start on the bench.
I think starting on the bench every now and again, but I think like at some point we're going to have to start seeing him in a consecutive run of games. Like, it's just the way that I feel like young players are these days. They're more entitled than they were before. But I agree with you. Overall, I think, you know, starting in some games on the bench, but I'd also like to see him start the game and then have him. Because Ahmed does just as good a job coming off the bench. Look at last year. He did a phenomenal job coming off the bench. So I think at some point they're going to swap those two.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, bro, if you – all that young player and I don't like and blah, 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 then find your way, bro. Find your way. Mm-hmm. We don't have time. Like, Rashford might have to sit on the bench. Ahmad sit on the bench and say a word about it. He's been on the bench waiting for his time. Why can't Garnacho do the same thing? You know? That's just what it is. This is what we're dealing with now, because we got a lot of games to play. So you're not always going to start. And don't take offense when you don't start, especially if you perform bad the last game. Yeah. Really take that, but you're right. 100% these guys are prima donnas, and they're a lot of them are punks. So they take it I mean, it's easy for me to say that because I'm not under the lights. So I'm not a competitor like they are, right? But at the same time, it's like, bro, you gotta do what's best for the team. When the team shine, you shine. Mm-hmm. You do your part. Yeah.
You know, Sean, I think X's and O's wise, if you do have Xerxes, he kind of likes to drop into that space where Ahmad plays. Ahmad kind of is like the fourth midfielder, right? And then your right back keeps the width. So, maybe when we do play Xerxes, maybe it's Garnacho. You know, he's a a winger, you know, chalk on the boots, yeah, out wide. So maybe that's going to be the pairing that's going to go. So, yeah, interesting point.
I mean, what did you guys think about if, like, when Xerxes starts having, like, two wingers that have just got, like, pace, like a Garnacho and Rashford up there, because he likes to drop in deep. Xerxes, I'm talking about. And, you know, play like that false nine and feed his wingers.
No, they're both. Rashford likes to play off the shoulder, you know, put the ball in the space and let him run onto it. And so, with Mount not occupying that space, Bruno not occupying that space, it kind of does open up for that type of player. But then there's something to be said for what, you know, Diallo brings, which is, you know, he's looking to get other players involved and not get himself going first. So, it'll be interesting to see what's the best combination.
I think it's a good, in a way, it's a good problem to have different dimensions, right? So you're not just one-dimensional. Xerxes brings options, exactly. Hojlund brings one aspect of the game. Xerxes brings in another one. So it's great to have that, right? The thing is, they're all young and hungry, and they all want to play, which is great, right? But it's like healthy competition. You just got to play well, got to be informed to get up in there.
Yeah. I said this last night. I'm actually looking forward to if they put Hojlund on the left at some point and have Xerxes playing up front.
Oh, and one thing I forgot to say, I just got to give myself some credit. I think I'm the only one that called the game 1-0. Just to let you guys know. Just to let you guys know, I should have started off with that. I was the only one that said that. I mean, am I the Oracle now? I don't know, but I just wanted to let you guys know.
What's your
that.
Prediction for this game?
Oh, prediction to this game. Oh, my gosh. My heart wants to say we're going to win like 2-0, but I think we're going to get a 2-1. 2-1. They're going to score on us this week.
I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say 2-0.
2-0. 2-0. Yeah. Who's next? What you got?
3-0.
Woo!
3-0 again.
We find
I'm going to keep saying 3-0 until we get a 3-0 victory.
You might be waiting a while.
I like it.
Let me just read this comment by Jeff. He said, what about Nacho starts and Rashford to sub?
I think that will come if Rashford doesn't stop performing in the next 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, fair show.
It's just news Ten Hag's going to have to put up with. Because it's like, oh, he dropped Rashford. Look at he's dropping and he makes this much money a week. And then it's going to be that.
So this is going to go to his man management, right?
I don't think it's all going to be on Ten Hag, though. I think it's going to start coming from above. You know, we have a football structure here. We looked at it in the FA Cup final where, you know, Ten Hag was told pretty much to play a false nine. You know, I think it's going to come from above. Like, hey, it's time to drop him. You know, I'm glad that it's going to come from above too.
That's what the leadership is for.
So we have that ability now to have that people up above Ten Hag that can, you know, give a different perspective and say, hey, look, it's time.
It is, it is actually time to wrap up. So,
well, Bandito,
closing arguments. Yeah,
real quick, we had some classic Fergie time from the U21s and the EFL Trophy today. They were down 2-0. They came back. Jack Fletcher, 2 goals in like 84 and 87 minute to get the victory. Classic nice. Fergie time from the U21s. I will be at the next match in Doncaster. In Yorkshire, away, cheering on the 21s. Nice. So can't wait for that one.
Ooh, can we do a show with you there? Is that possible? We need to just get you live one day.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get you on a camera.
I'll shoot stuff for you guys, and you know, I'll send it to you, and you can put it on the channel if you like.
Oh yeah, or definitely.
We can go live. Channel. Yeah, we'll set it up.
Yeah. And it looks like we're just about wrapping up. I want to thank everyone for joining. Sean, Big Mikey, Bandito. Check out these guys. These guys are doing great work on Mondays and Thursdays on United Fan Zone, right? 5 p.m. Yeah. Pacific time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, correct?
Yep, that's correct, man. Yeah. Everybody, thoughts and prayers for Mr. Casey Gale. Yeah, let's get him a nutritionist. Yep. Let's get him some better birds to take care of him.
Let's get him to drink some water.
Yeah,
right?
let's get him back in studio. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Those casual Reds signing
off.
Thank you, gents.
Thank you, guys.
Up the Reds.
Fucking Reds.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
No, not at all.
Because I saw the time, I'm like, oh, you know what? Not at all.